This is the Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft, along with the Panthers.com crew, Brian Strickland and Max Henson. And guys, the Panthers wasted little time getting out of the gates in free agency. They moved fast on the first official day and work late into the night to sign targeted players. And guys, I got to commend you right off the top. I know you guys were on point in the Panthers.com Draft Center, watching over the proceedings and making sure that everything was, the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. And you got the word out to our Panther fans.
Yeah, Mike. Friday was a pretty unprecedented day for the Panthers, easy for me to say. And really in the history of their free agency, to have that much activity on the first full day of free agency. We were right in the middle of it. I mean, it was, you know, it was a pretty late night for us. I mean, you can only imagine what it was like for the people that matter on the football side with that process. And I know they went home happy. I mean, it was definitely a good day's work put in. Four official signings happening Friday, reaching a point with two others that were able to officially happen on Saturday, bringing back a couple of favorites, which we'll talk about. It was quite a whirlwind.
Max, first let's talk about Matt Khalil, probably the most anticipated move with so much attention paid to the offensive line. But that move made sure that we will have a reunion of sorts for the Khalil brothers.
Yeah, this was a big one right off the bat, and everybody knew the Panthers were going to somehow address the offensive tackle position with what's going on with Michael Orr and with Mike Remmers becoming a free agent. And Matt Khalil was the guy they targeted and brought in on a five-year deal. Obviously, the first thing you're going to think about is the last name. He joins forces with his brother, and that is a good situation for him. The Panthers feel like that'll allow him to flourish. The fact that he's here with Ryan, who, as we all know, has a very big presence on this team, as one of the central figures in that locker room. And look, Matt was open and honest when he talked to the media on the conference call after he signed. He feels like he hasn't lived up to his potential yet, that there's more for him to provide a football team. He wants to kind of break out of his shell, to use his words. And they feel like, and Matt feels like, John Matsko and Ray Brown are two offensive line coaches that can help him get that done. And if that's the case, if they can bring the best out of Matt Khalil, the Panthers feel like they've got a left tackle in his prime for the next few seasons, and that's an exciting thing. So, of course, we're all anxious to see how it plays out with Matt and with the Panthers.
Well, Brian, speaking of reunions, the Panthers were also able to bring back a legend in North Carolina sports and Panthers lore, Julius Peppers, you know, who made it known through this whole process, and his agent jumped out there as well, that he wanted to finish his career back home in Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty cool to see Julius Peppers in the building on Saturday. That was, you know, his agent kind of leaked that out on Friday, and then we made it official Saturday. You know, seeing him and Captain Munnerlin in her Saturday was pretty cool. You know, he moved into fifth place in all-time sacks last year in NFL history, obviously first in Panthers history. By the way, three of the top five all-time sack leaders have played for the Panthers at some point, which is kind of crazy to think about. And, you know, Peppers has got to be the favorite among that group. Like you said, homegrown talent, you know, grew up not too far from Raleigh, not too far from where I grew up, you know, played at Carolina basketball too, showing what an amazing athlete he was, basketball and football with the Tar Heels, and, you know, was here forever. Then he was gone for seven long seasons, and now he's back for year 16 with the Panthers, and still a lot in the tank, it certainly seems like to me. 7.5 sacks last year, just a hallmark of consistency with the way he continues to produce.
Well, as you look at this, Max, what does this signing mean for the team's new defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks, having another toy
exactly,
to play
yeah.
with?
If I'm Steve Wilks, I'm pretty excited. I know everyone's excited about the homecoming, but if I'm the new defensive coordinator, I'm excited about a 6'7 pass rusher who still can do it, as Brian was talking about. Obviously, he's a little bit older, as we saw on Saturday. He's a little more gray in the beard, and it's cool to see the transformation that he's kind of undergone as a person. You know, he talked about the growth that he experienced as a player and as a person going to Green Bay and Chicago, and now he comes back, and look, he wants to be a leader on this defense. He knows he's not going to play all the snaps. They're going to rotate him in and out, try to get the most out of him on third downs. You would certainly expect him to be out there rushing the passer. You got to be pretty excited about this third down pass rushing package Carolina can offer now. You talk about K.K. Short, Julius Peppers, Mario Addison. Charles Johnson. I mean,
just throw them all out.
You guys, some guys who can rush the passer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's very exciting for Wilkes in this defense. And as Brian mentioned, this guy can still play. And I mean, he's 37 years old, but it's been clear that he can play, he can rush the passer, and he's going to be an asset for this defense.
I passed defensive line coach Eric Washington in the parking lot, and he was smiling ear to ear just as you look at the wealth of players. And the good news is we still haven't even gone through the draft, so more players could be added there to that front seven. The Captain Munderland episode,
as this was
we
awesome.
Can call it, because we were down there, as I said, in the draft nerve center, and who pops in the door? But Captain Munderland, basically, did he just walk in and say, let's get it done?
Yeah.
What was the social media element of his signing?
It was pretty amazing. I mean, of course, at this point on Friday night, we've already kind of worked through the fact that Russell Shepard and Charles Johnson, the two wide receivers, are going to sign. Matt Khalil had signed. You had the Coney Ealy trade. I mean, there's so much happening. And for all of us in that room, all of a sudden, the door opens and in walks Captain Munderland. hey, guys. And we're all just kind of looking at each other like you kind of thought that maybe Captain would come back this offseason, but we didn't think it was going to happen Friday night or Saturday. And he said he got a FaceTime call from Thomas Davis and Julius Peppers, who were in Miami that morning, and they said, Captain, let's go. And he said, you know what? Let's do this. So he got himself over to Bank of America Stadium unannounced, just walked in, and said to the guys in the football office, let's work something out. And then, sure enough, the next morning, Captain was back with the Panthers on a four-year deal. So it was a whirlwind stretch, as we've kind of described. And Captain was kind of the cherry on top of it all, just how that all went down. And of course, filling a big need for this team. This team needed a nickel corner. We know Captain can play that role and play it at a high level. So it's another great signing for this franchise.
And I think the excitement starting off free agency, and you hate to say that, you know, it's done for the public reaction, but I think the fans really needed to see that. And speaking of that, we asked in our fan poll, we asked the fans, which one of these, we call them new faces, but some of them are old, will have the biggest impact in the 2017 season. And there you can see Julius Peppers running away with it. But we've had some reaction on this poll. And remember, always entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, and we've talked about the top three guys on that list. No surprise Julius wins it, you know, given what we said about his history with this team. But, you know, definitely recognition from the fans there of the importance of the tackle position with Matt Khalil right behind him. And like Max was just talking about, the importance of the corner position. So given the names on there, I'm not surprised that Mike Adams, a guy we haven't talked about yet, you know, brought up the rear on that poll. But, I mean, any of those are good answers, including Mike Adams. I think it's going to be great for this team if they use him like we suspect they might, to possibly free up Kurt Coleman to be more in the free safety spot where he really excelled in 2015.
And Max, I won't steal your thunder, but Jeremy Jennings said a lot of people are undervaluing Mike Adams right now.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I'm sure you agree with that.
Yeah, no, I think Mike Adams is another nice signing for this team. He's obviously a guy who's in the later stage of his career, but he doesn't appreciate it if that's brought up. You know, he doesn't feel his age holds him back. He's been a Pro Bowler two of the last 3 years. Of course, that's, you know, at a point for a safety where you might think, okay, mid-30s, maybe he's slowing down. It hasn't been the case for Mike Adams. You know, he's been playing some of his best football. As you've seen some of the highlights here, he also brings a little bit of some swagger to his secondary. And I think that's one of the big things with both the Adams and Munderland signing. This is a young secondary, as we know. The corners, of course, were rookies last year who played significant roles. Kurt Coleman, kind of a cerebral veteran in the back end. The swagger that Adams and Munderland bring to the secondary, I think, is going to be big. I think that energy that they'll provide in addition to, obviously, their level of play is going to be a big spark for that secondary that'll help them take a next step in 17.
Taking a look at film, and I have this later in the week, a breakdown on some of the plays he had with the Colts last year. He had a big game where he had turnovers on back-to-back possessions.
Not bad.
I don't know if I've seen that.
Yeah. Luke,
so you know. Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, I've seen that. Okay. But anyway, what about the signings with the slots? When we talk about slot receiver, we knew that was going to be an active position this offseason. Those can't be overlooked either.
Yeah, I mean, the second free agency starts, get, you know, the somewhat surprising news that, you know, for me, that Ted Ginn had moved on, you know, had high hopes, and I think the organization did, that Ted would be back. So you look for the speed element with him. him gone, and you know, regardless of that, you were looking for the slot receiver element, and those are two interesting guys. I mean, I'll say like Russell Shepard from the Bucks, great guy. Enjoyed hearing his story. The one thing you absolutely know is he will be a factor on special teams, regardless of what role he gets as a receiver. But an intriguing prospect receiver. Certainly has the speed and the physical skills. Got spotty opportunities with the Bucks to do that. Obviously, you look at their receiving core; it's hard to fit in there at times. And then Charles Johnson. We have two Charles Johnsons now. That's going to be great to try to keep up with. Charles Johnson from the Vikings is a guy who, when healthy, really seemed to be bursting onto the scene. Back in 14, and then the last couple of years, he struggled with injuries. You know, he's as healthy as he's been in a while, and you know, as fast as lightning as well.
Yeah, when we talk Charles Johnson, you're talking speed. And I think that's the thing. Of course, Brian mentioned Ted Ginn's departure. You bring in another very, very fast wide receiver in Charles Johnson, who I believe it is pro day or workout back in the day, ran a 4.3 6.40. So you're talking about some really elite speed with Ted Ginn. Charles Johnson, also in that conversation, is a guy who can really get down the field in a hurry. So we'll see. Interesting names brought into the wide receiver room. And I still think that's an area, Mike, as you mentioned, the slot position, that you could see in the draft as well. This is a good draft for some slot types. So maybe we'll see that on draft day in addition to what we've seen in free agency.
I know one of the questions our fans might want to know, how do you guys think that the free agency in the first week has kind of set us up for the draft, because we know that was one of the goals going in?
I mean, I would say goal met, which Dave Gettleman talked about at the combine, all so long ago, right, Mike? It feels like a long time, but it was not, of course. It was, you know, it's always his goal. Free agency sets up the draft where you don't have to reach and feel like you're drafting because of need, if you have all your needs met, so to speak. Not that this team can't improve in multiple positions and will aim to do that through the draft, but you're solid enough in every spot that we've been talking about leading up to the draft that you can pick the best available player, and that was his goal.
All right. Like you said, mission accomplished. Let's talk about what's ahead. Boy, we roll right from the combine into free agency. Guess what? Pro day start tomorrow.
Yeah.
University of North Carolina at Charlotte tomorrow. Larry Ogunjobi and company going through the motions right down the street. Got Mike Rucker in today and got him on a breakdown of Julius Peppers. Went and looked at some vintage footage.
Nice.
And broke it down. That's coming up Panthers.com. So a lot of stuff. And I know you guys will have a multitude of things on Panthers.com.
Hey, so much stuff happened in such a short amount of time for these free agents. We're going to have all this week to kind of go back into some of these signings and give you a little bit more insight onto who these guys are as people and players.
Yes. If they happen so fast, you know, you have time, hardly have time to look
it's
back.
True.
As David Monroe said, the offseason starts in July.
Yeah, seriously.
We'll just keep
That's a good
on,
way of putting it.
Yeah, we'll just keep on rolling. Well, as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. It's Mike Kraft. On behalf of the entire gang, we'll see you right here next time at Panthers.com.